The title of today's message is God's Plan for Fathers. Why in the world did God make dads anyway? What are they for? Are they good for anything? Does He have a purpose? Is it just chaos? Is it just a mess? Do we just do whatever we want and everything's going to be okay? Or does God have a plan for fathers? He does have a plan. We're going to look at that today. The passage in Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6. Verses 20 through 23. Proverbs 6, verses 20 through 23. My son, keep your father's command and do not forsake the law of your mother. Bind them continually upon your heart. Tie them around your neck. When you roam, they will lead you. When you sleep, they will keep you. And when you awake, they will speak with you. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law a light. Reproofs of instruction are the way of life. So this passage, this chapter, these verses that we just looked at are addressed to a son, are addressed to the son of a father. But it's wisdom, it's instruction from the father. And so we're going to look at today some wisdom and some roles and parts that God has for fathers to play in the lives of their children. Fatherless homes contribute to our nation's biggest problems. Maybe the majority of our nation's societal problems come from fatherless homes. The most important predictor of criminal behavior is not race, not income, not religious affiliation. It's a father's absence. It is boys who grow up without their fathers. A statistic from just last year, the year 2023, said that 1/4 of all American children live in homes without fathers. 1/4 of all children are growing up without their dads. Where are the fathers? Generally, the mother is there, struggling, trying to make ends meet, trying to provide for her children, doing the best that she can. But where are the fathers? 9 out of 10 children in single-parent homes, the father is not there. Where are the fathers? Where are the men? Well, too many of them are not with their children. Did you know that children that are raised without their fathers are at risk? They're at great risk, children who grow up without their dads. They're at greater risk of poverty. They're at greater risk of infant mortality. They're more likely to commit crime. They're more likely to face abuse and neglect. More likely to suffer obesity. More likely to have behavioral problems. More likely to go to prison, more likely to become pregnant as a teen, more likely to abuse alcohol and drugs, more likely to drop out of school. That's a lot of risks for children who grow up without their dads. A lot of times, even when a father is present, he is not living up to his God-given responsibility of being a real father. Some dads spend too much time on the job, earning more so that their kids can have more things, when what they really need is more of them. Psychologist and author Dr. James Dobson said this. He said, "We're so busy trying to give our kids the things that we didn't have growing up that we forget to give them the things that we did have growing up. Things like time with them. Love and attention." 2 Corinthians 4:18 says this, "The things that are seen are temporary, but the things that are unseen are eternal." Giving them more things does not help them in the long run. Working to give our children more things then end up just thrown away do not develop their character. It's time with their dads. It's been said, how do you spell love? It's four letters. It's T-I-M-E. Time. Spending time with your children. So fathers, we need encouragement to spend time with our children. To take time to be a real father. More specifically, a Christian father. It's been said that a child is not likely to find a father in God unless he finds something of God in his father. Think about that for a minute, men. A child is not likely to find a father in God unless they see something of God in their father. We have tremendous opportunity and responsibility to reflect the Father in heaven. A Bible school teacher asked her class to draw a picture of God. A little boy finished first and said, I drew a picture of my daddy because I don't know what God looks like, but I know what my dad looks like. They see the image of God, should see the image of God in us. We should look like our Father. We don't know what He looks like. No, the Bible says no one has seen God at any time, but we know His characteristics. We see the Father in Jesus and how He lived, how He conducted Himself. And so what children need are Christian fathers living in the will of God. So I want to look at three different things today, three roles that a father plays or should play in the life of their children. The first role that we have as fathers is to guide. We certainly have a responsibility to guide our children. Verse 22 says, when you roam, they will lead you. That father's instruction will lead you. So our instruction to our children will lead them if we take responsibility to guide them. We can take the position of father as, hey, I'm the authority figure and you will do as I say. Well, God has given that responsibility of authority to the father as the head of the house, the one that makes things go, the one that corrects, the one that teaches, the one that leads. So we can have the right as fathers to say, do as I say. Fathers must teach godliness. Fathers must teach the right way. They must teach their children to live responsibly, to live righteously, to live holy lives, to lead, to be good citizens, to be good neighbors. We should be able to say, do as I say. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. What should we teach them in the way they should go? The Scriptures. We need to teach them the Word of God. Thus says the Word. This is how we should live. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Men, do we want our children to grow up to be thoroughly equipped for every good work? Do we want them to be capable when they finally leave the house and have their own families and make their own way? Do we want them to be prepared for that? Then teach them the Scriptures. They're profitable for doctrine, for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 through 9 is an ancient passage that Jewish men were to follow the best that they could. It says this, these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. That sounds to me like a dad should be teaching his children all the time, especially when they're young. Teach them the ways of God. Teach them the truth of God. Teach them the Word. Teach them to live righteously, constantly. Teach them. Do as I say. We might have that philosophy. But you know what? To gain credibility, to gain respect that we want as fathers, to be able to teach them to do as I say, we must live in such a way that we can demonstrate them to do as I do. Pictures speak louder than words, right? Or actions speak louder than words. I was thinking about a picture is worth 1,000 words. But actions speak louder than words. We can say, do as I say, but unless we're backing it up with the way that we live, it's probably going to be neglected. If we teach our children, son, apologize, tell your sister, tell your mom that I'm sorry, I was wrong for what I did. But they don't see us doing that, ever apologizing when we do something wrong, then they're going to say, well, you don't practice what you preach, or this is going to be their attitude. Why should I do that when you don't do it? They may not say that out loud, but they will live it. We have to demonstrate it. We have to be doers to be able to say, do as I do. Follow me as I follow Christ. Fathers must model godliness. We must set the example not only by the things that we say, but the things that we do, the way that we live. There's an old saying, like father, like son. Most of the time, boys grow up to be like their dad. Think about that for a minute. Look at your own life. I think that's sometimes God's sense of humor, that we don't want to be like our dads, and we find ourselves at, when we become adults and we have our own children, that we're like our dad. We have the same attitudes, the same tendencies. We follow the same paths. We tend to. Most of the time, boys grow up to be like their dads. I remember years ago, I went to a family reunion on my dad's side. I didn't know a lot of those people growing up because they were away from me, and I had a lot of cousins that I didn't know. But as soon as I walked in and they knew who I was, they said, I can't believe how much you look like your dad. Several of them. And I was the kind of boy when I was growing up, and I was a young teen and making my own way, becoming my own person, my own man, that I didn't want to be anything like him. I didn't like it when he told me what to do and what not to do, when he corrected me and this and that. But I ended up looking like him. So most of the time, boys grow up to be like their dad. Jesus himself in John chapter 5 said this, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father do. For whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner, like Father, like Son. I remember when I was a young kid in the 1970s, watching TV, and I remember this American Cancer Society commercial. Some of you that were around at that time may remember it too. It showed a man, a father, and his son out working in the driveway on the car. Whatever the son or the father would do, if he was shining the wheels, it showed the son trying to mimic his behavior. Whatever it was the father did, the son did also. Then it showed the man smoking a cigarette. And the next thing it shows is the child, the son, trying to smoke a cigarette too. Like father, like son, they're going to follow us. Where are we leading them? We cannot merely say, do as I say. We must be able to live in such a way that they will do as we do and end up in the right place. You see, children learn what they live. What children are exposed to and they're growing up, that's what they learn. If a child lives with criticism, he learns to condemn. If a child lives with hostility, he learns to fight. If a child lives with ridicule, he learns to be shy. If a child lives with shame, he learns to feel guilty. If a child lives with tolerance, he learns to be patient. If a child lives with encouragement, he learns confidence. We need to encourage our children that they become confident. If a child lives with praise, he learns to appreciate. If a child lives with fairness, he learns justice. And justice is high on the list in God's characteristics. He wants us to live justly, to do justly. If a child lives with security, he learns to have faith. If a child lives with approval, he learns to like himself. If a child lives with acceptance and friendship, he learns to find love in the world. Children learn what they live, what they're exposed to, what they see day in and day out in the home and their moms and dads. That's what they learn. And here's two examples that really we need to take to heart. A son learns how to love his future wife by watching how his dad loves his mom. How we relate and love our wives, men, is how our sons are going to love and treat their wives. And a daughter will end up looking for a husband who is like her father. Wow, that just puts a lot of responsibility on our shoulders, doesn't it? A daughter will look for a husband who is like us as their dad. A child learns what they live. So, second role of a father is to guard. Not only do we guide our children, but we guard our children. We protect them. I like what I saw posted recently that said something like this: a man who beats his wife is not a man at all. A man should use his strength to protect his family, not hurt them, not abuse them. I like that. Our responsibility as fathers is to guard our children. Verse 22 says, when you sleep, they will keep you. Fathers look out for their children's safety. When dad is around, the children feel safer. If we think back to our childhood, and maybe even recently, when we're around as the dad, the child feels more secure. When dad is away, be it on business, out of town, for whatever reason, on the job, working at night, the children feel a little less secure. It's just the way it is. Dads see potential danger and warn their children. I mean, a child, if you think about them from the time that they learn to walk, they don't know anything about running into the street. They don't know anything about going up to a dog that may bite them, or they don't know the hazards. But we as dads see the potential danger, and we protect them, we warn them. Dads even watch out for who their children's friends are. We don't want them to get involved in bad behavior, so we want to make sure that their friends are good kids. The Bible talks about evil company corrupts good character. And if we just let them go wherever they want, with whoever they want, then we shouldn't be surprised that they end up different than we want. We look out for their safety. Fathers also diligently pray, or should pray, for their children. We should pray for them. Pray for them regularly. Why? Because we can't always be there. Even when they're a child and they go off to school, or they go on a field trip, or we're away from them and they're at home, we are not always there. So we better be prayed up. Say, God, watch over my son, watch over my daughter while they're away, while they're on this trip. My goodness, you talk about praying and worry was when Andrea, at 15 years of age, got to go to Japan. Now, this is a long story that I'm not going to tell all of it, but it was a time of trial for me as a dad, because it was part of the bluegrass band, and there were five of them going to make this trip over to Japan for a week. And they had the five set, except one of them, for whatever reason, couldn't go and backed out at the last minute. And I got a call saying, hey, Andrea has been asked if she wants to go on this trip to Japan, but they got to know right now. And my immediate reaction was, they got to know right now. The answer is no, they're not going. She's not going. That is serious. You got to think about that and pray about that a lot. But she went. I kind of got overruled in that situation. And she's glad, and she had a good opportunity. But But my goodness, when she's on the other side of the world in like 20 to 22 hours of flying, and you track them on the computer, which we could at that time, and then all of a sudden you see like it's out of range. We don't know where the plane's at. We don't hear from her until like, I don't know, 30 hours after she was left. Rented her a phone that would work over there, and it didn't work. She couldn't call us when she got there. I mean, my goodness, you better pray for your children. Thank God she was okay and she was protected, but pray for your children. Who is able to watch over them when we're not able to be there? God is able to watch over them. We better pray for them. James 5:16 says, the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. The prayer of a righteous man. If we're living to please God, living according to His Word, our prayers are powerful and effective. God hears our prayers. He watches out for our kids. Dads must diligently pray for their children. It says there, when you sleep, they will keep you. When a child is sleeping, when our children are away from us, our prayers will keep them. So the role of a father is to guard and to guide. And third is to govern. Fathers are to govern their children. Verse 23 says, reproofs of instruction are the way of life. God expects us and requires us to discipline our children, to correct them when they go wrong, to teach them right from wrong, and to show them where they made the wrong decision. Proverbs 22 says, foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. The rod of correction will drive it far from him. They must have discipline. They must have correction. They must have chastening. This is not a license for child abuse at all, but it is godly advice on how to raise a child. By the way, we're planning on having a parenting class here in the fall, an 8-week series on parenting. And I guarantee one of the things in that class is going to be discipline, how to discipline your children. There must be consequences for wrong behavior. What would happen if we went over as a child? We know what happened when we were a child and we laid our hand on a hot stove, don't we? Oh, it burned. But what if it didn't burn? Jeff's Castle's dad, tells us that there was a man he worked with that had no sensation like that, no feeling in his fingers. He could lay his hand on a hot stove and not feel it. What if there were no consequences? We could hurt ourselves terribly if there's no consequences for wrong behavior. So there must be consequences. If there's consequences, it will lead to godliness and virtue. But you must begin when a child is still a baby, when they're still very small. You have to begin to correct them. You can bend a sapling. If you plant a tree and it's just a little sapling and it starts growing crooked, you can put some things on there, tie it back, and make sure it grows straight. But what about when it's 20 feet tall and this big around? No, you can't bend it then. You have to bend them and correct them when they're little, when they're young. You must teach children to do right. They will automatically learn to do wrong and must be taught to do right. Proverbs 19 says, chasten your son while there is hope and do not set your heart on his destruction. Once again, the lack of discipline will lead to spiritual death, but discipline brings hope. Proverbs 29 says, the rod of correction imparts wisdom, but a child left to himself disgraces his mother. So correction and discipline imparts wisdom. Now, how do dads discipline their children? With an iron fist? Lay down the law? This is the way it is? No. Dads discipline out of love. It's the love that we have for our children that motivates us to discipline and to correct our children. Proverbs 13 says, "He who spares his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him." So if you don't discipline them, the Bible says you hate them. But if you love them, you will discipline them. Proverbs 3, 11 and 12 says, "My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest his correction. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects, just as a father the son in whom he delights." Don't despise it. Your children will appreciate you later for it. I didn't at the time, but I do now. Good dads do not discipline because they are control freaks and want to rule with an iron fist. That's not why they do it. Good dads do not discipline to avoid being embarrassed by their children. That's not the reason. Good dads do not discipline their children for their own benefit. They discipline their child for the child's benefit. Because God disciplines us. Hebrews 12 says that He disciplines us for our benefit, that it may result in holiness and righteous living. So if we love our children, we will govern them by disciplining them. So with all this responsibility of father, of being a father, of being a good dad, of being a responsible dad, is being a father a burden or a blessing? Is it a burden or a blessing? Charles Francis Adams was a 19th century political figure and a diplomat. And he kept a diary. He kept a diary. And one day he entered this into his diary. "Went fishing with my son today. A day wasted." That was his record in his diary of going fishing with his son. Well, his son, Brooke Adams, also kept a diary. On that same day, this is what he entered in his diary. "Went fishing with my father, the most wonderful day of my life." What the dad thought was a waste of time, the son saw as an investment in time. The only way to tell the difference between wasting our time or investing our time in our children is to know God's plan for fathers. To guide, to guard, and to govern. Let's be dads that represent our Father in heaven. Amen. We're going to give you opportunity to respond. If God has been speaking to your heart through this message or maybe even before, and you would like to know this Father in heaven, you would like to be His child, you would like to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior, we invite you as we sing to come forward. Whatever your need is, if you'd like to pray about anything, if you want to pray by yourself, come to this side. If you want me or somebody else to pray with you, come to this side. Let's stand together as we pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for being our dad, for being our father, for loving us so much. Thank you for setting an example for us. Lord Jesus, thank you for coming and showing us what the Father is like. And God, I pray that you would just instill in us a desire to be like our Father in heaven. Lord, give us wisdom and understanding to guide and to guard and to govern our children, our families. And Lord, may you, by your Spirit, call somebody today to come and say, "I want to be a Christian. I want to serve the Lord. I want to know my Father in heaven." Lord, may you give them courage to step out and to say yes to your will this day. In Jesus' name, amen.